Did you know that the 4th of July is on a Thursday this year? That's going to be a full weekend of fun out on the deck, 4 days. But if your deck isn't what it used to be and you aren't using it for great family gatherings, you need to call my friends at All Weather Decks. All Weather Decks is a 24-time winner of the Angie Super Service Award. And they probably help one of your neighbors. Click on the map link at allweatherdecks.net. Call All Weather Decks today at 913-206-1974 or go to allweatherdecks.net and mention you heard it on 810. Call now and relax.
This is Sports Sunday on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Get up, stand up. Stand up for your right.
This is an appropriate song for today because I would rather think about being in Jamaica than being in Kansas City right about now. Good gravy. This is Sports Sunday, Sports Radio 810 WHB, in Kansas City and across the Midwest. I am your host, Brad Porter. Jed Marshall is running point on the show today. And boy, man alive, got up at about 5 o'clock this morning, walked outside, and like a punch in the face. I mean, I was out in some of the nasty stuff last night. My oldest had a soccer game down at Swope Park, the Brookside Soccer. And the rains came in for about the last 15, 20 minutes of the game. And the score in the game was 6-0. And we kept looking at the referees like, okay, let's go ahead and wrap this up. We don't need to play every second of every minute of this thing. It's raining, it's cold, it's miserable. But darn it, we stayed out there. And I think we played with added time, which I don't think we're supposed to have in our league. So I was out in it last night, and that was miserable enough. That was just uncomfortable. It wasn't totally miserable. It was uncomfortable. Today is miserable. I mean, it's a punch in the face. If you haven't been outside yet, an absolute punch in the face. And so I'm scrolling through Twitter this morning looking for the weather report, and Gary Lezak's got a picture of his dog on there. And he said he wanted us to know, to make sure we know, just to rub some salt into the wound. If you're not feeling bad enough already, this is the third consecutive Sunday in the month of April that we have had snow. Three consecutive Sundays in April, we have had snow. And poor Gary's dog is sitting there in the yard. And Gary's dog, I mean, go to his Twitter account, at G. Lezak, and his dog looks miserable, just staring at the camera like, do I really have to pose here in the snow so you can have your picture for Twitter and Instagram and Facebook and all that? Do I really have to do that? Well, you know Gary has to do that. I like to see Gary's dog on there. That's fine. So it's miserable outside today. So if you want to stay in, I know people got things to do. You have to go to mass or services or church, or if you don't do any of that, if you're just going to brunch or breakfast, or if you actually have outdoor events today like soccer games or lacrosse or track and field, God love you. If you have to play, I hope some of these games are canceled. But if you have to be out there, I'll be thinking about you. So if you want to stay in, if you don't have anywhere to go, or if you're driving around, crank up that heater in the car and listen to us here on Sports Sunday. We've got some good guests lined up for you. Coming up in about 20 minutes, Seth Kaiser, who covers the Chiefs for Arrowhead Pride, does a lot of good video breakdowns and some good analysis. He's going to talk to us, join us at 9:25. And we'll talk about more about the Chiefs' free agent acquisitions. And also who they lost and how to replace them. We'll talk about, I'm going to ask him a little bit about Eric Reed, the safety from the 49ers, who's not getting any inquiries, at least that we know of, because of his stance on kneeling during the national anthem. But I'm going to ask Seth if he fits in with the Chiefs system. Because all the other stuff, we can talk about that another time, but would he be a good fit with the Chiefs? And so we'll talk about that. We'll talk about Benny Logan's gone. Is that a good thing or a bad thing? Can you replace him? Jed Marshall's nodding. That's a good thing. And I think Seth is going to agree on that one. And we'll get set up. We got the draft coming up, and we got OTAs right around the corner. So we'll get that set up with Seth Kaiser from Arrowhead Pride. Also coming up in the show, David Leske, popular Twitter follow, at DB Leske, covers the Royals for Baseball Prospectus. Not sure. he can always dig in and get those numbers that we don't think about. Like, you know, okay, the Royals have won three games this year. They have not won a game in which the Royals have scored. They're 0-10. The Royals, this is stunning, 0-10 when the opposing team scores a run.
I mean, you can't give up runs, Brad.
I know, but even one.
No, I know. Any runs.
Well, as my good friend, former Royals pitcher Al Fitzmaurice, told me many years ago, he's taught me a lot about baseball over the years. One day we were talking about some pitcher. I don't know who it was. I'll just make it up. Jose Rosado, okay? And Rosado gives up one run or two runs but pitches a complete game. And I'm sitting with Fitzy, and I said, Fitz, man, that's a hard one. I mean, that's a game Jose Rosado deserves to win. He pitched well enough to win. And Fitzy looked right at me and glared at me, and he said, Brad, sometimes you got to throw a freaking shutout. The language might have been more colorful than that, if my recollection serves. He said, Brad, sometimes you got to throw a shutout. And apparently for the Royals to get a win this year, they have to get a shutout. So David Lesky is going to drill down through some of the numbers and tell us if it's really that bad. Yeah, because it looks horrible. I mean, Jorge Soler last night. Oh, my gosh.
It was a good catch.
Good
effort, at least.
No, I don't think it was.
Really?
Well.
You don't give him
okay,
an A for effort?
He's not a good fielder anyway.
No, he's not.
And it's freezing and it's snowing, but it's brutal.
I love the gif that Cody had of that. That was, I woke up to that this morning.
Which I know, which one was it? Because I know Cody was tweeting out early this morning.
Jorge Soler hitting him in the face.
I mean, that's right up there with
Ken Harvey getting hit in the back and then falling behind the tarp. Kerry Robinson climbing up the wall on a ball that landed in front of him.
The kid we had in 2014 from Japan. All of a sudden, I'm drawing a blank.
Nori Aoki.
Nori Aoki, when he got hit right in the you know what's.
Yep.
That was classic. Chip Ambrose once took one off the face in the outfield. I was there to see that in person.
I don't remember that.
Yep, took one right off the face.
In fact, I don't remember Chip Ambrose. Maybe that's a good thing.
Chip Ambrose was, he came to the Royals from the Red Sox organization and you know, had some, I don't know, hype or something.
He was a Red Sox player.
He was a Red
prospect,
Sox player.
So there you go.
He's going back. And this might have been the game when the Royals blew like a 12-run lead or 11-run lead. I'll have to look up see if I can find that old box score. But there was a chance, like, oh my gosh, they might get the final out and not blow this 12-run lead. It was a double-digit lead, whatever it was. And Chip Ambrose, I think it was in left field, went back to the wall and got his glove up, and then it hit him right in the face. So that, you know, Soler, just, you know, another in the long line of guys who commit things like that. So David Lesky's going to join us later in the show to break down the Royals and let us know if it's really that bad, confirm our thoughts, what our eyeballs tell us, if we think it's that bad, and get a little bit on Shohei Ohtani, the biggest show in baseball right now. He's must-see TV. The old days of NBC when they had, you know, Seinfeld and Cheers and Friends and all the different years, it was called must-see TV. Shohei Ohtani is must-see baseball. He is must-see baseball. He's the guy that you're going to see every night on MLB Network when they do Quick Pitch, which is a fantastic show because SportsCenter is not going to give you that much baseball this time of year. It's going to be all NBA and NHL, which is fine. So tune on Quick Pitch on MLB Network, and Ohtani's going to be on there every night, whether he's batting, whether he's pitching. If he has the day off the day before he pitches, they'll talk about the next day. And when he has the day off after he pitches, they'll talk about what he did the day before. Shohei Ohtani is must-see, must-talk about baseball. So with David Lesky, we must talk about Shohei Ohtani. Also later in the show, Andy Edwards from NBCSports.com will join us.
Fingers crossed.
He set two alarms, right? I think he said
allegedly.
Allegedly set
we'll
two alarms.
See. Andy's a scumbag, so I bet he's lying.
Because we're going to talk about Sporting KC with Andy Edwards. Which you can hear live today right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB at 3 o'clock. Nate Bucati on the call. And Sporting KC is in first place in the Western Conference. And since that opening home loss to DC United, which had a lot of people down, obviously you don't want to lose at home, especially in the season opener, since then, they've been nails. absolute nails. They've been scoring on offense. They played very, what they call, attractive soccer. The passing's been fantastic. The teamwork has been great. Hopefully, Felipe Gutierrez is healthy enough to go today. He could not go last week, but he has 5 goals in 5 games in his first year at Sporting KC. Johnny Russell, who stands out on any field. He's got, it's not a mohawk, but it's shaved around the sides, and he's covered in tattoos, and he just stands out. And he had a goal last week where he was charging past one defender. Second defender came up, and I heard Matt Beisler talk about this on the Border Patrol with Stephen St. John and Jake Gutierrez this week. Nate was out that day. I think he was sad he wasn't able to talk to Matt Beisler. But Matt Beisler pointed out, if you watch that Johnny Russell goal, and I went back and looked at it again because I didn't notice it live, but Johnny Russell popped the ball up maybe a foot, foot and a half off the ground to get over the foot of the defender and then kept charging all the way to the goal. And it was fantastic. It was terrific. Johnny Russell is a guy who, he's got the kind of attitude, regardless of what sport you're playing, I don't give a flip about what you're trying to do to me. I'm going to enforce my will on you. And he's been pretty darn successful at doing it so far. Also in his first season with Sporting KC. So Sporting KC and Seattle Sounders, 3 o'clock this afternoon, Sporting Park, or pardon me, Children's Mercy Park in KCK. And that's live here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. The only downside for this, if there's a downside, Clint Dempsey is not going to be here today for Seattle. And I like Clint. I know some people he kind of rubs the wrong way. He's a hard-nosed player. He's a tough guy. When he plays for Team USA, everybody loves him. When he's your opponent in Major League Soccer, he's a pain in the rear end. But he got a red card last week, which gets you a suspension, and upon further review was given a lengthier suspension. So he will not be here today. But Sporting and Seattle, 3 o'clock, Children's Mercy Park, KCK, a game you can hear live here on Sports Radio 810 WHB with Nate Buchady. All right, let's get to the Royals from last night. Because why not? Everybody at the ballpark looked like they were having a good time. Everybody looked like they were at the beach, just soaking up the sun. Then the snow came in. I wasn't out there last night, but I was watching on TV. And my question was, because obviously I didn't play Major League Baseball, my question was, how can the players even see the ball? If you're up to bat and a guy is throwing a white ball at you at 98 miles an hour, okay, it's got red laces on it. You had big, and those snowflakes were big. But if a ball's zeroing in on you at 98 miles an hour with snow coming sideways in front of your face, how are you supposed to see the ball? So I went looking for some quotes from some players, and Mike Trout said, yeah, I had trouble seeing the baseball. There were a couple of pitches at the end of the game I didn't see. And if you're having trouble seeing a baseball coming in at 98 miles an hour, it becomes dangerous. I thought at one point they would stop the game, but they didn't. I wanted to get it in. So Mike Trout, who's from New Jersey, no stranger to cold weather. By the way, I was sharing this story with some friends of mine last night. The story on Mike Trout on why one of the reasons he got drafted so low in the first round, if you want to call first round low, what was he, 27th, 26th overall? 25th? Okay, 25th overall. One of the reasons listed in the scouting reports was, well, he plays in New Jersey. They don't play year-round. They play in bad weather. We can't get a good read on his skills. Can't get a good read on Mike Trout's skills? But you have no problem signing 15 and 16-year-olds in Central America and the Dominican and Puerto Rico. Well, Puerto Rican players get drafted, but the Dominican and Venezuela and Colombia and everywhere else, you have no problems, Brazil, no problem signing those guys who don't play at a professional level. But the knock on Mike Trout is he plays in cold weather in New Jersey. We're not going to draft him that high? Okay. Well, here's what Mike Trout had to say, a New Jersey native. Just raw. First couple of innings, We're all right. Then it got a little windy. The last couple of at-bats, it was tough to see. Obviously, you couldn't feel your hands. It was a battle, but it was a big win for us. It was definitely one of the coldest games I've ever played. Mike Trout continued standing in the outfield. It was, and then he paused. I love snow, but woo, it was tough. I think the biggest thing was the wind. Obviously, snow in your face, but once the wind changed, it was blowing right in your face at the plate. There were a few pitches in my last at-bat that I couldn't even see. That's the best player in the world.
What a baby. Grow up, Mike Trout.
Could not see the ball last night. Could not see the ball. I didn't mention the Royals did lose 5-3. Royals now 3-10 on the season. They've lost 5 in a row. The Angels are 13-3. They've won 7 straight. I guess if I'm going to look for a bright spot last night, because Jake Junis kind of slipped back to reality a little bit. I mean, he's been so nails. I think he got to 16 consecutive innings without giving up a run.
Mm-hmm.
And he was close to tying Danny Jackson for the second longest streak to start a season.
Yeah.
I think Rustin Dodd tweeted that out and then obviously jinxed it.
Thanks, Rustin.
Well,
he did have 7 Ks, though, last night.
Yeah, he had 7 Ks, but he got tagged for 3 home runs. And when you look at that, and I've had to remind myself during this series when the Angels are hitting all these home runs, they have one of the best lineups in baseball.
Yeah, Mike Trout and Justin Upton were two of the guys who hit those
bombs. Yes.
Those guys hit a lot of home runs. So
yeah,
they're going to get you from time to time.
They are.
And snow or not.
Snow or not. And if you don't have your best stuff against this lineup, you're not going to do much. But here's the bright spot I did see. When Birch Smith came in, you've been waiting for the bullpen, somebody in the bullpen to do something. Okay, Hill's been pretty good. Okay. Herrera's been pretty good. There have been one or two other guys that have had okay outings, but for the most part, it's been a bonfire out there. So Birch Smith comes in last night after Jake Junis was gone after 4 2/3. Brian Flynn went 2 1/3, had a strikeout, no runs. Birch Smith, 2 innings, 1 hit, 3 strikeouts, 31 pitches, 23 strikes. Good ratio, 23 strikes on 31 pitches. And he had that whale of an at-bat with Mike Trout. I think it ended up being a 14-pitch at-bat with Mike Trout and then struck him out on a breaking ball that was just filthy. I mean, it looked like a curveball that was going to bend over the outside edge, and then it just went off a cliff. So Birch Smith now has 3 straight scoreless appearances. So there is somebody who can do a little something. And we're going to talk about this more in depth with David Leske a little bit later. And also, we'll have baseball tonight coming up at noon, which will be hosted by yours truly. Stay around. I've got the Cody Tapp shift today, where you kind of host all the shows. Because Cody has days where he hosts all the shows or he's a guest on all the shows. So kind of got the Cody Tapp duty today. So I'll be here for baseball tonight. Brian McCray, I know, is going to join us to be the closer for the show. And we'll talk about playing in cold weather because he was on earlier this week on WHB and was talking about playing in Chicago. He said, look, I know what playing in cold weather is like. It doesn't warm up in Chicago until June, but this is brutal, what the Royals are playing in right now and what they may play in today. I'm wondering out loud if they're gonna call this game. I mean, if it's not snowing, if there's no precipitation, but the wind chills are in the teens and 20s, what do you think, Jed? You call it or no?
So I don't know.
You're gonna have what, 3,000 people out there?
Right. I consider myself a pretty good fan.
Okay.
There's no way in hell I would go to the game today.
No.
Free tickets, crown seats, I don't care. There's no way. I went outside.
Ooh,
like,
what about the Diamond Club? You can be inside.
I don't care.
What about the one out in left field, the club out there?
I don't care. It's too cold.
Walking from the parking lot.
Yeah, it's miserable. I went outside right before the show, and it's gotten colder since when I got up at 5:40 this morning, and it actually was snowing. I just scraped my car. So, yeah, today's not a good day. I'll leave it at that.
Okay, I'm just checking my weather app. It's 29 degrees right now.
It's supposed to trend up to like 37, I think, but
Winds are out of the northwest at 16 miles an hour. The wind chill is 17 degrees right now. You want to get up and load up and go to the ballpark?
Hell no.
Look, I'm all for a good time at the ballpark. I've been out there when it's 110. I mean, when they get to that level where they start giving out free water or whatever. Mm-hmm. I've been out there for those games. I can take that. You can get out and get in the shade. You can get up and walk around. But you
go
can't
in the stadium
hide.
Store.
Yeah, go to the stadium store. You can't hide from a 17-degree wind chill.
No.
Unless you're in the Diamond Club or the Left Field Club. Is that the 390 Club? Is that what it
is? It's probably still called that. Okay. I guess, literally you'd have to spend all day with good friend Kurt Nelson in the Royals Hall
the
of
Royals
Fame.
The Royals Hall of Fame?
Just hanging out here, Kurt. Sorry, not going out there.
The Angels have sent a couple of baseballs towards the Hall of Fame.
They sure have.
Man, these home runs. I know it's hard to hit. In these temperatures,
obviously,
but the Angels have crushed the baseball in this series.
Well, and they're so used to it. I mean, it gets really cold in Los Angeles,
Southern Anaheim. California.
That's rough area to play.
By the way, if you ever have a chance to just go to the city of Anaheim, don't.
Yeah, it's a turd.
It's not fun. I traveled there when I traveled with the Royals. I love the stadium. The stadium is terrific. Stadium's fantastic. All the remodel job they did there. It is fantastic. That is all. I was there for the playoffs in 2014. I was there for those games. Again, stadium was awesome. Not a fan of Anaheim.
SoCal in general.
Yeah, even in L.A., the traffic is enough for me.
Other than Malibu and San Diego.
San Diego's
awesome.
You can
have it all.
You can't afford to live in San Diego.
No.
You can't. San Francisco, you can't live there.
You can live in Oakland.
You could live in Oakland if you want to take on that challenge. I keep hoping Oakland.
There are a lot of actually Silicon Valley companies that are trying to make Oakland more of a destination spot.
I keep hoping Oakland is like the next Brooklyn, where it wasn't like 15 years ago. Brooklyn was not where you wanted to be, but now it's desirable. It's a desirable place to live, and now almost you can't live in Brooklyn. It's too expensive. So I'm sure you wanted to hear all this, all our thoughts about the cities around Major League Baseball.
Destinations and the
weather
places
forecast,
we want to live.
But we're going to try to warm it up next. Football is normally a cold weather sport, but it starts out hot. National Football League starts in September. Some pretty hot games. Training camp in St. Joe is always boiling hot. So we're going to warm it up with some football talk. Seth Kizer, Real Chief of the North. On Twitter, at RealMNChiefsFan. He lives in north of Minneapolis. So Minneapolis that had the 12 inches of snow the last couple of days, he lives north of that. He didn't get any of it, but he's got 20 below zero weather up there. So Seth Kizer is going to break down the Chiefs with us next. So we'll get that going. Then later in the show, David Leskey will join us to talk some more Royals baseball. And then Andy Edwards from NBCSports.com talking Sporting KC in their game today against Seattle, 3 o'clock, Sporting Park, live here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. So we will take a quick timeout. Jed and I are going to get some hot coffee here, and then we'll get you some hot Chiefs talk. You're listening to Sports Sunday, broadcasting live from the Rally House Studios. My name is Brad Porter, and you're listening to Sports Radio 810 WHB.
This is Sports Sunday on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Welcome back to Sports Sunday, Sports Radio 810 WHB. I'm Brad Porter, broadcast live from the Rally House Studios. Talk a little Chiefs football now with our good friend Seth Kizer. Follow him on Twitter, at RealMNChiefsFan. The MN stands for Minnesota, of course. Everybody who listens knows that. Seth, we are once again near freezing temperatures in Kansas City in the middle of April. You live in Minnesota. What is your situation?
My situation is that it's cold. I'm far enough north to where I'm not getting hammered with snow, but it's cold, man. I'm tired of this. This has gotten annoying at this point. Even for us, this is extending longer than normal. We're used to winter going until early April for sure, But usually most of the snow is starting to melt by now. This is getting ridiculous.
And I think it's funny that you said, I live far enough north to where I'm away from the snow, which is kind of funny.
it's a weird thing how it works. If you're in Minnesota, you really get hammered by the snow in central and southern Minnesota, whereas up north, it just like, yeah, occasionally it's negative 40, which, you know, that's a bummer. But you don't get hit with quite as much snow. You do get those days, though, where, like, you walk outside and, like, you breathe and then you die. So you got to be careful about that.
You don't want any crystallization in your lungs. There's your fifth.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, it's like everyone's walking around smoking menthols or something. It's terrible.
All right, we're talking Chiefs football with our good friend Seth Kaiser. Seth, people who cover the Chiefs tend to fall into different categories. There are people who love to break down video. There are people who love training camp. There are people who love free agency. There are people who love the regular season and the playoffs. And there are people who are really into the draft, which is now only a week and a half away. Which category would you say best fits, or maybe two categories, best fits how you like to cover the Chiefs?
Well, I've, over the course of the last 7 years, as I've written for Arrowhead Pride, my niche has kind of ebbed and flowed and gone a few different directions. You know, I'll never forget when I was a guy writing breakup letters to Matt Cassel. And so my niche has changed to something that involves more film reviews almost strictly. That's the vast majority of the articles that I write. Occasionally I'll do, editorializing or something like that. But for the most part, I'm film review guy. That's what I do. I don't get as hyped about the draft as a lot of people for two reasons. One, because I don't have time to break down as much film of college guys. Mm-hmm. I just don't have time. I've got like 18 jobs and 38 kids or whatever it is. And my wife knows.
Yes.
And so I just don't have time to – and I view the draft as more of a crapshoot than a lot of people. There are a lot of people who say, oh, yeah, we're going to go into the draft and we'll shore up, safety and cornerback and wide receiver and guard. And I'm just like, when was the last draft that got that many good players for any team? So I view it definitely through tape, and I really love breaking down all things tape. The draft is fun, though, because then afterwards, when I know who they have, then I watch those guys' tape. And so that's fun.
Okay. Well, let's talk about then. Let's stick with the players we already know about, known entities that are proven players in the National Football League. When you review tape of the Chiefs' secondary last year and what was lost in the trade with Marcus Peters, there's been a lot of talk this week about the need for another safety for the Chiefs. Yep. And you can't have enough corners either, but in particular on safety. And there's been a lot of discussion surrounding Eric Reed from the 49ers.
Yep.
Because as if anybody's read about Eric Reed, he kneels during the national anthem, and it appears that he has been, for lack of a better term, Colin Kaepernicked. He's an immensely talented player, but teams are staying far away from him. As you've observed both the Chiefs secondary and perhaps Eric Reed as well, just on the field, without the off-the-field stuff, on the field, would Eric Reed be a good or great fit or not fit at all with the Chiefs system?
I think Eric Reed would be a great fit. Here's the thing. I do think the danger in situations like this is players that are obviously having something weird going on, and something clearly is going on with him at this point. You can't really deny it. They get lionized a bit more. I've heard people call Eric Reed one of the best safeties in the league. That's not true, in my opinion. I've watched him a little bit. He's not in the same pantheon as the Eric Berrys and the Harrison Smiths and the Earl Thomases of the world. But he is a good safety, and he's a versatile safety. He had to play in the box last year because the Niners had some injuries in the linebacker core. He has also played back, and he's played free safety. He can cover out of the slot a little bit, not as well as some other guys out there, but he can do a lot of different things well, and there's value in that, especially in Bob Sutton's system where he likes to have his safeties travel. He likes guys that can play multiple positions. That's why Hussein Abdullah did so well with the Chiefs, because he could do everything. He was a jack of all trades. That's why Eric Berry does so well.
And they're doing it with Daniel Sorensen as well, although I'm venturing a guess that Eric Reed is more fit to be that multiple position guy that can come up and play in the box.
Right. Well, and what was interesting with Sorensen this last season, so in 2016, Sorensen played all right. He did a good job as the third safety, playing some of the robber role and even playing over the top. And he didn't play a ton of in the box, but he played some. The problem is this last year when Barry went down, Sorensen was the guy they tried to have replace him in the box, and he was clearly not capable of doing it. And that's
he looked overmatched. Looked overmatched, and that's not his. That's not what he played for 10 or 15 years of his life.
Exactly. And it's not a shot at him. Most safeties can't do that. Most safeties, if they're asked to play hybrid linebacker, they're going to get killed out there. You've got, you know, Cam Chancellor, Eric Berry, Harrison Smith, and Eric Reed, who have done it successfully. And I might be missing maybe one or two. It's just a tough thing to do. And so I would say Reed would be a really good fit. And what's interesting to me, because, you know, you talk about him getting Kaepernick, the interesting thing for me is that he's not suing the league.
Correct.
He also didn't come out, you know, because with Kaepernick, there's a lot of nuance there and people land one way or another. But Kaepernick, in addition to the whole kneeling thing, which people can view however they want, I don't want to argue with anyone about it. He also made some comments that, you know, really inflamed a lot of people that Reed didn't do that, right?
Right.
And so it's interesting because, and he's also, Eric Reed is a much better safety, in my opinion, than Colin Kaepernick as a quarterback. Okay. And so it's interesting to see someone get similar treatment despite being a significantly better player,
so he's,
despite not having as much controversy.
He's being lumped in with Kaepernick unfairly because Kaepernick has a problem on multiple levels, whereas Eric Reed is the one thing.
Yeah, it's just the one thing. And I would just say, you know, I read what he wrote about why he chose to kneel rather than sitting and that kind of stuff. And I got to say, based on all that, now there's some weird things when you read. There was a great article about what happened with when he and the Players Coalition broke up that makes you kind of go, well, that's weird. So there's definitely a little stuff going on beneath the surface. But at the end of the day, I mean, he's a very good safety. Now, again, I think people are exaggerating how good he is to an extent, but he's a very good safety. And the Chiefs need help at safety. Here's the other problem for Eric Reed, though. The safety market has been bizarre this offseason. And that's a real problem. There are other good safeties who have none of that, you know, quote unquote controversy surrounding them, who are still on the market as well. And so it's just a weird market. Bad year to be a free agent at safety.
So it's a little bit like Major League Baseball's offseason, only it was every position that had a problem getting signed.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
A little strange.
Exactly.
This is Sports Sunday, Sports Radio 810 WHB. I am Brad Porter. We're talking with Seth Kizer. Follow him on Twitter at RealMNChiefsFan. Does a lot of work for Arrowhead Pride. All right, let's move on from Eric Reed. Benny Logan signed with the Titans this past week, so that opens up a spot. And I don't, you know, when you look at the tape of Benny Logan, you're probably more qualified to break him down. I don't know how big a loss that is. I don't know if it's easy or difficult to fill his spot. What about that? And with the Chiefs, would you suggest they look at some free agent defensive linemen?
Well, Benny Logan, you know, it's tough. He was a bit of a disappointment for me. I really liked his tape coming from Philadelphia. And I'm not saying he played badly in Kansas City because I don't think he is. He didn't contribute pretty much anything to the pass rush, which we kind of knew that coming in, that wasn't going to happen. He was consistent against the run. He was decent. He wasn't dominant, which I really had hoped he could be. But he was consistent and he was decent. He wasn't the problem on run defense by and large. And when you struggle on run defense like the Chiefs did as a unit last year, losing a competent run defender is obviously not something you want. What I will say, I think, based on everything I'm seeing, I think Xavier Williams should be okay to fill in most of what they asked Benny Logan to do last year. One thing I really liked about Williams' film, I did a write-up on him at Arrowhead Pride. I think I reviewed four or five of his games, something like that. One thing I really liked about his film is that he's very, very stout against double teams from what I watched, which is interesting because he's not as big a guy as Logan. But for whatever reason, he's more stout against double teams than he is against individual blockers a lot of the time. It's really weird. And so I think they're going to be okay, even if they don't sign anyone else, given the role that they had Benny Logan play. I think Williams can slide into that pretty comfortably.
All right, we're talking with Seth Kizer, who writes for Arrowhead Pride, breaks down a lot of video of the Kansas City Chiefs. All right, Seth, a couple of more topics for you. One thing that gave us a bit of a chuckle this week is Andy Reid went on a podcast, and I'm searching my memory, trying to remember the name of it, But he did a podcast this week appearance. And one of the things he was talking about, they asked him about John Gruden, and he said, oh, I like John Gruden. He's a good guy. I've known him for a long time. In fact, he recommended Bob Sutton to me as a defensive coordinator. So, of course, yeah, so everybody got a laugh out of that. And then, of course, you can construct the conspiracy theory that John Gruden convinced Andy Reid to hire Bob Sutton five, 6 years ago with the intent of one day taking over the Raiders and destroying
the
Chiefs.
The long con.
Exactly. Yes.
So man, I don't think Gruden was thinking that far ahead. But, you know, there's some low-hanging fruit there with regard to Sutton's age and the type of players that Gruden's been signing. It's like, well, of course he liked Bob Sutton. You know, he's like 20 years older than everyone else that does his job. So there's some low-hanging fruit there for sure.
All right, one thing outside the Chiefs realm, or at least I think it is, I don't think this player will be considered – would be considered by the Chiefs, is Dez Bryant being released by the Dallas Cowboys. He came out afterwards and said publicly, hey, I would have taken less money. Jerry Jones released a statement saying, look, I've been as close to Dez Bryant as any player we've ever had. I love him. But this was a group decision. And Dez Bryant tweeted out, yeah, that's not a surprise. And I know, basically inferring he knows who wanted him out. Look, I've looked at his numbers. He's almost 30, right? And the last three seasons, he's battled injuries. So 2015, 31 catches on 74 targets. 2016, 15 catches on 97 targets. And last season, 2017, 69 catches on 133 targets. Either he's the most well-covered wide receiver in football, or he just lost the ability to catch the football or separate. I don't know, but the Chiefs, I think, will stay 100 miles away from this. I don't know where Dez fits in with another team in the National Football League.
I'm not sure Dez necessarily fits in with what the Chiefs are trying to do with the youth movement and all of that. You know, there's always a danger, obviously, in viewing a player solely through the box score, right?
Correct. Because I think that's a good point. I think you bring up a good point, because when the Chiefs signed Sammy Watkins, everybody looked at his numbers and thought, oh, he's not that good. And then you guys who watched the tape broke it down and said, you got to see what this guy does away from the football.
Correct. And that's a big deal. Like, even when you're looking at targets and catches and all that, you got to ask yourself, you know, how many of those targets were catchable? Because that was the big thing with Sammy Watkins. If you watch his film, especially on deep shots, if there are any Rams listening, please, I'm not saying anything bad about your quarterback. You've already taken over my mentions like five times. Specifically with throwing the ball to Watkins. And I don't know if it's because they were on different pages, because he signed so late, or because the trade was so late, or whatever it was, for whatever reason. Goff, if you turn on the tape, missed Watkins deep. And I mean missed as in, like, this is just not just Watkins was open and he didn't throw him the ball. But Watkins was open, he threw the ball, and it was horribly off target. That happened at least on average once or twice a game. I mean, when you turn on the tape, I reviewed every route of four or five games, and since then I've probably done three or four more. And I counted, you know, I conservatively estimated that Watkins probably lost out on about 350 yards and four touchdowns.
Wow.
You know, in just those games. And so that's a big deal. And so I don't know if something like that similar could have been happening with Bryant. I've watched a little of him. He just doesn't, and this is the big difference between Bryant and Watkins, aside from the fact that Watkins is 24. And you know, Bryant's almost 30. If you watch them on tape, Bryant just does not look explosive anymore to me. He just doesn't.
It happens fast, especially when you get injured.
He's not a guy who, whereas Watkins, you can see him exploding in and out of his breaks, and you can see him getting separation down the field with great speed. Whereas with Bryant, he's a guy who wins with jump ball situations. He's a guy who is a contested catch guy, kind of like an Anquan Boldin type, only he's not Anquan Boldin. Mm-hmm. And so I just don't see him fitting into what the Chiefs do. Now, I think Mahomes would do just fine with him, because I don't think Mahomes is afraid to throw into contested windows. But I just don't think the need is there for that type of receiver. They've already got a guy who I think does pretty well with contested catches in Chris Conley, even though he obviously hasn't had nearly the historical success as Bryant. But he's younger also and has more upside at this point. So I don't think there's any reason to upset the wide receiver room when you've already got, you know, your number one guy there in Tyreek Hill. You already brought in another guy to compete to be the number one guy. You don't need to bring in an alpha like Dez Bryant, who maybe doesn't have the goods to be an alpha anymore.
All right, we're talking with Seth Kaiser, Chiefs football. Follow him on Twitter, at RealMNChiefsFan. Good stuff, good video breakdowns there. All right, final question for you, Seth. And this, you don't have to go into detail on this, but since you're not as into the draft as other folks, and that's fine, but I'm sure you watch and pay attention to it. When,
yep.
If the Chiefs remain outside the first round, how,
yep.
how inclined will you be to sit down and watch the entire first round of the NFL draft? Less inclined, more inclined, or about the same?
I'll still watch it, make no mistake. I can't handle guessing. I struggle with that. And so I'll still watch it, and I enjoyed it. You should have seen me last year. Last year I had a feeling the Chiefs were going to take a quarterback. And so I had actually broken down the film of all the top prospects, and I wrote an article like 3 days before the draft, like, what I would do if I were John Dorsey. And it was, I would trade up and draft Patrick Mahomes. So I flipped out.
Nailed it.
It was, I lost my mind. I've always told my wife since then, and my sons were with me, and I'd been telling the whole time, I just wanted to take Patrick Mahomes, and I was showing them some of his throws. So they were sitting there cheering. And I always told my wife, man, should have really had you record that. And so I like the draft a lot. I know my limitations. You know, so for me, I view it more through, less in terms of, oh, I want this specific player, that specific player, except last year when I wanted Patrick Mahomes. I view it more in terms of team need. And so I'll still watch it just to see what other teams are doing. I'm going to be paying particular attention to see if some corners, some safeties, or some guards slide. I want to see what positions. There's always one or two positions because of a run on quarterbacks or a run on whatever position that you end up with some really talented guys dropping into the second round. So I'll watch for that.
Okay.
But, yeah, and I'm also curious what people are going to do with quarterbacks this year, because that could go so many different directions.
Exactly.
Yep.
Hey, Seth, I appreciate it. Thank you so much, and stay warm up there in the great white north of Minnesota, all right?
Absolutely will. Thanks for having me.
All right, that is Seth Kaiser, writes for Arrowhead Pride, covers the Kansas City Chiefs. Give him a follow, at RealMNChiefsFan. Good stuff there, as the draft is about a week and a half away, free agency is still rolling, and the Chiefs have a lot of work to do. All right, you're listening to Sports Sunday on Sports Radio 810 WHB. My name is Brad Porter. We're broadcasting live from the Rally House Studios. Back with more right after this. Sports Radio 810 WHB.
This is Sports Sunday on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
You ever seen Beck live? Never seen Beck live. On TV several times. I like Beck. He's all right. He's different. Some of us, he tries things. By the way, this is Sports Sunday, Sports Radio 810 WHB. My name is Brad Porter. We are broadcasting live from the Rally House Studios. Jed Marshall is with us as well. Yeah, I've never seen Beck live, but I like artists who take chances, and then some of it doesn't work. Some of it's lousy. Some of it's self-indulgent. That's what artists do.
He made an entire record called Sea Change, which is basically
what he did.
Just acoustic, yeah. And it's all about him breaking up with his ex-girlfriend.
How many songs and or albums, for men or women, have been written over breakups? Millions?
Yeah, quite a few.
Quite a few. I did like the one. I tell you what, the one time I saw Beck that I liked him. I will get back to sports. I promise you. We just wrapped up with Seth Kaiser from Arrowhead Pride. We'll hit on a couple of those points. But I saw Beck on Saturday Night Live a few years ago. Maybe I should say several years ago. But he did that thing where they're all sitting. All the people in the band are sitting around the dinner table, and then there's like a puppet show next to it on the stage with all of the artists at a little tiny table. And they're all mimicking each other, and it was one of the most creative things. Maybe it's been done before by somebody else. I don't know. Look, you're not going to nail me on music history. I just don't know. But it was highly entertaining. Highly entertaining. And all the instruments were there on the table, whatever it was, knives, forks, plates, cups, spoons, whatever it was. Those were the instruments for that song. And it was fantastic. All right, so we wrapped up with Seth Kaiser, Arrowhead Pride. Coming up in the next hour, David Leske, who writes about the Royals for Baseball Prospectus, is going to join us, taking a look at the Royals and Angels, and Shohei Ohtani, who's going to hopefully pitch at Kauffman Stadium today. I think they'll play. Jed Marshall just said he saw a patch of blue sky go by, but now it's gone. The clouds are moving so fast,
gone.
It's gone. Okay, so it's gone. And then, let's see, at 10:25, Kurt Heelan from NBCSports.com will join us. He covers the NBA. First round of playoff games were played last night. And for the most part, they're pretty lousy. I took in Spurs-Warriors. Snooze fest. I took in a little bit of, and I'm going to call up the box scores real quick, make sure I got it right. I took in a few minutes of Wizards-Raptors. That was a close game. But the Raptors are just a pinch better than the Wizards. But you had some super talented athletes in that game. And that, I mean, man alive. Heat 76ers. The compelling part of that game was the Sixers were down by 10 to the Miami Heat and then came back and destroyed the Heat 130-103. They may not need Joel Embiid to come back in this series.
I'm still intrigued by your hatred of Ben Simmons.
I thought about it overnight, and I'm changing my mind a little bit.
Why? Because I made such a compelling point that he's great at basketball?
When I'm not around a player every day and I don't know him, my only form of judgment should be if he's entertaining on the court or the field or his place of business. And Ben Simmons is highly entertaining. I don't know the man. Just sometimes I see him in a whatever. And then Pelicans Trailblazers last night was a 2-point game. And what I really liked about that game is we talked about it yesterday is Drew Holiday, who's been around. He's been in the league a long time now, and he's a really good player who's played on some awful teams. I mean, just awful. And his wife, Lauren Holiday, used to be Lauren Cheney, played professional women's soccer here for FC Kansas City and is one of the greatest players I've ever seen. Played for the U.S. women's national team, won a World Cup. And they're very nice people. And, of course, Lauren went through a series of surgeries. She had to have brain surgery, and Drew had to miss time last year away from the Pelicans. But Holiday last night, 21 points, 10 of 20 shooting with 7 rebounds, a couple of assists. He was just terrific. So those games were okay. Let's kind of go back to Seth Kaiser and put a bow on the Chiefs' business. He had talked about several things there. He admitted he's not a real draft guy. He doesn't drill into the draft. He likes to talk about players who are currently in the league. But he will watch the draft to make sure he knows who's going where and pay attention to who the Chiefs may look at down the road when teams cut players after 2 or 3 years. So he talked about Eric Reed, the 49ers safety, I guess now former 49ers safety, unless he goes back. And he's had a problem getting consideration from other teams this offseason because of his stance on kneeling for the national anthem. But what I wanted to talk with Seth about, and what we did talk about, is whether or not he fits into the Chiefs system if he were to come in and play. And Seth said, absolutely. He's one of those hybrid safeties that the Chiefs like that they can bring up into the box and play kind of a hybrid linebacker type and help in run support. A role that Daniel Sorensen played last year but was probably not prepared for. He had never done it in his career. And Eric Reed can do that a lot better. Now, Seth Kaiser said also that Eric Reed has been overrated because of the attention around him. When you get to the point of conversation where it's, well, this guy's not being signed because of this, and he's a really great safety, and they're not saying, he's not really great, he's very good. And that's okay. He's a very good safety, and he would fit in with the Chiefs. But you consider the other things. And one of the other things that Seth brought up was the players had a group that came together and wanted to go to the league and work with them to come up with some community programs. And the players got together, and Eric Reed and another player backed out and said, we don't agree with what you guys are doing or how you want to do it and what you're asking us to do, so we're out of it. So they kind of, that led to the breakup of the group. and they couldn't gain traction. Now, other players eventually did get some things worked out, but Eric Reed was part of that group that left, kind of helped break it up. So I thought that was interesting. Also, Benny Logan being gone, he thinks Xavier Williams is a better better at doing what the Chiefs want that position to do. So we'll find out. Well, that'll be one of the storylines at training camp to follow. So good stuff from Seth Kaiser, who writes for Arrowhead Pride. Good stuff there. We also had Larry Johnson on yesterday. And that was great. To go to the podcast, 810WHB.com, and look for Hour 1 from yesterday's Saturday show. Larry Johnson was great. All right, we will take a timeout. When we come back, David Leske from Baseball Perspectives, who covers the Royals, is going to join us, set up for Royals and Angels and the Ohtani Show. This is Sports Saturday. My name is Brad Porter. You're listening to Sports Radio 810 WHB.
This is Sports Sunday on Sports Radio 810 WHB.